going to start in our Christmas series this morning. As you can see, our Advent candles, we got the decorations. Man, it's time. The gift of Christmas will be the title of this sermon series. And so I want us to think about today, as we'll be turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 and be looking at 1 through 12, is the title of this message is Don't Miss Christmas. Can everybody say that? Don't miss Christmas. That's exactly right. I want us to think about that. Stand to our feet as we read and reverence God's Word. You're very familiar with this story, this Christmas story. I want you to think about this as we read it. Matthew chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. It said, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring him back to me, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they were rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I thank you for your presence that we already sensed this morning. That's priceless. And we thank you for that. I thank you that, God, we can gather together and open this word freely. But I'm asking you to hide me behind the cross today. May your word go forth. Touch us right where we're at. And we'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name we ask it. And all God's people said, you may be seated. You know, we all have our Christmas traditions, don't we? We all have our Christmas traditions, certain things that we do, how we decorate. And I'm sure a lot of you ladies, if it's like my house, it's already starting to be decorated a certain way in certain colors, and which kind of tree we pick. And by the way, a beautiful tree that we have here today. And we see our decorations, and it's just a part of Christmas, and how we wake the kids up on Christmas morning, and places that we go, people that we see. And what if you fell asleep on Christmas Eve and slept through Christmas? What if you just fell asleep Christmas Eve and set the alarm didn't go off, and next thing you know, you missed the whole thing? Think about that. Can you imagine how you would feel? Can you imagine how you'd feel? Just imagine you went through Christmas Day, but you still missed it. You can have all the celebration outside, but miss it on the inside. This morning I want us to look at a couple people that missed Christmas, not because they weren't present or didn't have the opportunity, but because of their insides, they missed the opportunity at this great moment. I want us to look at the tragedy of some people that missed Christmas and the reason why. First person I want us to look at, Herod. Look at verses 1 through 3. It said, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Ellen didn't know. He didn't have a clue. Here we are singing Star of Bethlehem this morning, right? Here are these wise men that set out and they come to Jerusalem. And I want us to think about this first person that missed Christmas, and that's Herod. He's known as the Great, by the way, and there were several Herods mentioned in the New Testament. Julius Caesar had appointed his father to be governor of Judea, Antipas, and then he managed to have his son Herod appointed prefect of Galilee, which would be like the mayor. his administrative thing. And so he was successful. Herod was successful in quelling the guerrilla, Jewish guerrilla attacks that were around Palestine and that were all fighting in that region. And so he would later be declared by Octavian and Anthony to be king of the Jews. Now keep that in mind. Herod would be called king of the Jews here by the Roman Senate. He was born half a Jew and half an Edomite. And so he never had a rightful, he never had a right to the kingdom. But he was called king of the Jews. And so he worked very hard to secure that title. He was very passionate about that. He was clever and he was a capable warrior, an orator. He was a good speaker. He was a good diplomat. He was the only ruler of that time that really secured peace in Palestine. So he brought peace to the area. He was known for building great things. In fact, he built the temple. It took him many years. And he was known for having a concern, a true concern for the people. And we hear all these things about Herod, I know, but there were some things about him that you maybe didn't know. He was known for his concern for the people. In fact, in hard times, he cut taxes. He cut back taxes. And when there were a famine at one time, he melted down gold plates from the palace to help the poor to make it through the famine. So it wasn't that he was totally heartless, right? Or we'll see that this kind of antithesis here when it comes to him. And so, but also the historian said that it was better to be his pig than his brother. Why? Because he would do anything to secure his kingdom. Killed many of his family members because of it. And so Herod had a problem. It was antagonism. Antagonism, which tells us, look, it's a definition of antagonism. He was had this idea of actively hostile at all times. Highly had all this opposition. I want you to know what it stemmed from this morning. Listen closely. It stemmed from jealousy. He was fearful of anyone that might rival his throne. That's what jealousy will do. It's amazing how jealousy will cause us to miss Christmas if we're not careful. And you know what jealousy will do? It'll cloak itself in many ways. And I've always noticed something about jealousy. It chooses sides. See, what are you talking about? It'll always choose sides. It'll always make sure that it gets a group to go along with it. If we're not careful, you know what jealousy will do? It'll destroy families. It'll destroy relationships. You know what else it'll destroy? It'll destroy the church if we allow it. We all have. In fact, if you look up some in Galatians 5, one of the characteristics of the flesh, living in the flesh, was jealousy, dissension, hatred. Jealousy is one of those things. And yet we can all deal with it. We'll all understand what jealousy is. Do I have to explain what jealousy is? We all understand it. Herod was jealousy. He was jealous. He has this antagonism. And because of jealousy, he missed Christmas. Listen to verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Why were they all troubled? He was frightened that someone would take his throne when he heard he who was born what? King of the Jews. Remember? That was the title he had. Octavian and Anthony had given him. King of the Jews. And when they come up, the Magi come and they say, where is he that's born King of the Jews? What's the first thing I can imagine his heart sinking? That was his title. Isn't that what jealousy is? Afraid of someone doing what we want to be doing? Jesus was a baby. Think about it. He was a baby. By the time he grew up, he wouldn't even be a threat to Herod's throne. And yet he was jealous. He was afraid. Listen, when you're jealous and you're antagonistic, you don't see straight or clearly. I want to tell you something about jealousy. You can't worship either, not rightly. You know why you can't worship? Because all you see is that person or that group that makes you jealous. You're not truly worshiping. Herod struggled. He couldn't see straight. All he thought about was a baby that was born, King of the Jews. He's missing Christmas because of his jealousy. That's a sad thing. and he wouldn't let it go. Oh, guess what? You can paint up the outside all you want, but the inside's not right. Yeah, he helped the poor. He melted down plates. He cut taxes. But you know what he did? He killed all the baby boys in Bethlehem. Mom, can you imagine that? Having this strapping young two-year-old that you're having trouble with. And soldiers come in and they kill him with a sword because of this man's jealousy. That's what jealousy can do for you. Oh, I would never do such a thing. Listen, we kill one another with our words. We get together and we talk. Woe be to the person that comes by the way. We'd better not be that person, because I promise you, God will deal with you. Herod missed Christmas because of jealousy. Think about what he could have been a part of. I wonder if anybody's going to miss Christmas today because of jealousy. Next thing, I want you to... That's Herod. Look at the next group. Chief priests and scribes, look at verses 4 and 6, and listen to what it says. And when he had gathered, that's Herod, all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are you not the least among the rulers of Judea? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Let's look at the next group that missed Christmas. You know who it was? The religious group. Of all people in the world, the ones that had read the book, had read the prophets, they knew where the town was. Herod calls, he knew who to call, didn't he? Call the religious group together. Find out where this king of the Jews is supposed to be born. They had been searching the prophecies. They knew what Micah 5 said. Out of Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem? 5 miles from Jerusalem. 5 miles! Hey, we can walk 5 miles. It might be a little out of breath when you get there, but you can be 5 miles, right? Pretty quickly. He who God is 5 miles down the road, and they won't even go to check it out and knew all the prophecies, and hear this group of strange magi looking and had seen a star that had directed them there, they won't even go 5 miles down the road to check things out. Where Herod missed Christmas with jealousy, they missed Christmas through apathy. Guess what? That could be our greatest reason for missing Christmas this year, by the way, is apathy. Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, we've got our Bibles. We go to church. We decorate a certain way. We do it all right how we've always done it. Truth be known, many of you sitting right here will say, I'll be glad when it's over. Why? Because you've done it the wrong way. The religious crowd, out of apathy, you know why? They were so steeped in their tradition, just doing it the way they always done it. You know what? Familiarity had bred complacency. Hello? Does anybody hear me? Familiarity had bred complacency. I don't know about you, but the Church of America is as complacent as it's ever been. Why? Because we're familiar. We do it a certain way. We want it done that way. And guess what? If it changes, what happens? Well, we get wadded up pretty quick, don't we? What did Ron do? What's that preacher? What's that group trying to do? We've never done it that way. Praise God, Puck. I'm glad you can say we have never done it that way and people's coming to know Jesus. Sometimes you have to change the situation. Now, I'm not saying I want to change it. I'm just wanting us to learn from the Scripture today. The religious crowd were missing Christmas. Why? They were apathetic. And you know what we'll do with apathy? We'll pass it on down to our kids, Lee. We'll teach our kids this is the way to do it. And we want them, guess what? We want them to look and act just like us, don't we? And then when they don't, we get very upset. Oh, somebody might think something about us because of the way they're acting. They might be on fire for Jesus. We want to put the fire out, the spark that gets the fire going. Why? Why is that? Because we like apathy. Dad, how are you teaching your kids to keep
teaching them about Christmas? Is it all about the gifts? And I know it's fun to watch kids open gifts, but is that what Christmas is all about? Is that what it's about? It's about Jesus. It's about His birth. It's about Him coming. It's about me not being apathetic, just going through our traditions, and if something changes, to be upset about it. The religious group, they were there. Herod was there. But they missed Christmas. They missed Christmas. Not because they were asleep. Not because they had opportunity. Because they missed it. Because they chose to miss it. To be an expert in the law, but to have an empty heart, is to be religious at arm's length. We can know the entire Bible and all the stories and miss Christmas. It matters that we do not miss it. Don't miss Christmas. You say, I can't miss Christmas. Look, we got the tree up. We got the candles lit. I'm not going to miss Christmas. You can go through all the motions all you want to and miss Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. And we can teach our kids to miss Christmas every year. We could be jealous one way. We can teach our kids to be jealous, by the way. We could teach our kids to be apathetic. You say, well, I would never do that. We don't mean to. It's just the way that our choices and what we live. You don't think that they don't hear you talking. You don't think that they don't see you not doing anything or going through the same routines. They do. And they follow our example many times. Don't miss Christmas. Because this last group, they get it right. The wise men, we all know. How many plays have we seen where the wise men, I know they're always at the manger, and we know that's not biblically correct, and I don't know who come up with that. Or three wise men, because it really, the Scripture doesn't say how many they were. They just know, we take the gold, myrrh, and frankincense and say, well, there's three because there's three gifts. We have no clue how big a group it was. We have no clue. We know that they were not at the manger. We know that they, when they come into the house, they see the child. We saw that in the Scripture. So, and we know that it's probably 2 years. Why? Because Herod asked when it was that he saw the star. He gets the date round. Why? That's why he killed all the babies from 2 years and younger. So we're talking about Jesus could be right around 2 years old at this point. Listen what the wise men, verses 9 and 12. When they heard the king, they departed. See, Herod said, oh, go find him. I want to worship him with you. Ain't that all Herod said? Aren't you glad that you got some discerning people in the world? Listen to what he says. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I can't tell you in the original language how much joy that's expressed right there. Why? For some reason, God had allowed them to come to Jerusalem. It's almost like He's trying to wake up Jerusalem and say, hey, right down the road, 5 miles, is my son. If you'd wake up, you quit being jealous. Christmas is right down the road. But you know what? When they come back out, for some reason, they'd missed the star. And there it was again. It led them right to the Christ child. And they were exceedingly great, joyful. Wouldn't you be too? That's a far journey. We don't know how far they came. We don't even know what land they came from. But we know that they set out with a purpose. It said, and when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped who? Him. Not Mary, by the way, just to clarify that. They worshipped who? The child, him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. You know, we can learn from these guys how not to miss Christmas. Why? First, they were seekers. Seekers. Listen to what it says. 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2 says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They were seeking the king. They could teach us this Christmas what to do. Seek the king. Seek the child. Seek the baby that grew up to be a man that died on a cross for you. That's sitting at the right hand of God, that's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were seekers of the King. You know what Jesus said? If you seek me, what did he say? You'll find me. They were seekers, and they were also finders. Listen, I want you to know something. It cost them something, by the way. it cost them something. They set out to find the king and worship him. This is what really, truly Christmas is about. No matter how long or how difficult the journey, not wishing it was over, they had one purpose, and that was to find the king and worship him. And they were finders. Look what they did when they found him. Look at verse 11. See the beauty of this moment. Don't see the outfit. Don't see three kings. See these worshipers that came, this magi that had set out, these wise men, all the cheesy little puns and one-liners. Put that aside and see this group of men that had set out to worship the king. What did they do? And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Oh, my goodness, what Christmas should mean to us. And they fell down and worshipped him. Preacher, are we going to have Christmas? Are we going to have service Christmas morning? And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented him gold and frankincense and myrrh. They saw, they bowed, they worshipped. They didn't miss it, did they? They didn't miss it. Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. How many of us are seeking him this morning, in this season? How many of us have got our little list and how many more gifts we got to get and how we're going to work the budget out and how we're going to be broke and all this garbage that the world feeds us about Christmas and we get so caught up in it? Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. Think about Herod in his position. He could have had a royal meeting with Jesus, could he not? He could have men set it out. What a display of splendor he could have had, right? Two kings meeting one another. All he wanted to do is get rid of him, did he not? Chief priests, been reading the word for you for centuries. Knew it inside and out. What good is knowing it inside and out if we miss the whole reason of it, pointing to Christ? Every word in this Bible points to Christ. They missed it. And then the wandering magi, strange characters, they found it. Why? They set out with that purpose. They were, let me give you a word, intentional. There's a word for you. That's the reason why those kids were able to share the gospel. They were intentional. They set out with a purpose to find the king and to worship him. You know what they did? They gave him gifts. Listen, I know we'll exchange presents and gifts and all these things. I know we'll do that at Christmas, and that's a good thing. Let me ask you this. What are you going to give Jesus? It's his birthday. I ask the kids, blow their mind when they're little. I say, now when we have a birthday party, when your birthday, who gets the gifts? Well, I do. Yay, they love the birthday party. I said, wait a minute, what is Christmas? It's Jesus' birthday. And who's getting the gifts? You know what to do? Wait a minute. Yeah, I'm getting the gifts and it's his birthday. See, I'm afraid we get so caught up in giving each other gifts. We don't give him nothing. We don't give him nothing. In fact, we just want to get it over with. Look, get it behind us and get on the first of the year. I don't know about you, but according to my wife here, I can't believe it's December. This is the end of 2016, and we're looking to 2017 and staring us right in the face. We want to get it over with. I'm getting older by the minute. I don't know about you. Why do we want to get it over with? It's because we're looking at it the wrong way. It's Christ. It's his birthday. Are we going to miss it again? Will our jealousy or our apathy cause us to go through the routine once again? Or maybe we can come like the magi and bow and bring him gifts. Give him something. You know what he wants? He wants you. Sometimes we put gifts in the monetary value. The greatest gift he wants is you. your life, your dedication, your worship, your sacrifice. Is our apathy going to keep us from that again? That's what we give them a lot of times. We just give them the leftovers. We're so wore out doing our thing. So we're just wore out going through the routines that we miss out on Christmas. Let's not miss it. Let's prepare to go out. You know what? Not just sing joy to the world, but live joy to the world. You realize that the world is ripe this time of season. They're celebrating. Many of them celebrating, just like Puck was saying, that guy that didn't have a clue about the gospel. They'll celebrate Christmas, and it's like, don't even exactly know what it's about. You realize there? Yeah, I know it's a South in the Bible Belt, but there's a lot of people out here that don't have a clue what Christmas is about. I told you last week, it's about presents or Santa and decorations and stockings and getting drunk at office parties. That's what it's about. Getting off from work. Woo! For a week. Or from school. We're off for 2 weeks. Praise the Lord. I'm serious. Listen, the world is ripe for you to come and say, let me tell you about what Christmas is to me. You see, they'll listen when it's real and personal. When you say, let me tell you what Christmas means to me. That's the question. What does Christmas mean to you? Oh, it's Jesus' birthday. We can mouth it off. We can say it all we want to, but what does Christmas mean to you? Applications and we'll be done. Is there any jealousy in your heart this morning? You'll never worship the King. Now you keep on and you can hold on to it all you want to, but you'll never worship the King, and it'll end up costing you more than you ever desired. You think it's not costing you nothing? It's costing you your kids. It's costing all these things and this great testimony that you build. You could tear it down in just a few moments with jealousy. Is there jealousy in your heart? Number two, are you doing Christmas the way you've always have? Is it just another routine? Same decorations, same tree, same routine. Just going through it. If something messes up, you're fit to be tied. Well, I was supposed to have turkey. They didn't have any turkey at the grocery store. I'm serious. We can get so tore up when everything just don't fall right in place just like we want it. Are you doing Christmas that way? Is that what Christmas means to you? Number three, what gift are you going to give Jesus this Christmas? It's His birthday. He's the one that should be getting the gift. What are you going to give Him? Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and play. What's God said to you this morning? Ain't going to tarry. Ain't going to beg. You don't know Christ as your personal Savior. He came to this earth as that babe, and He died on the cross that you could be delivered from your sin. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. If you don't have that everlasting life, you know it this morning. Don't miss the greatest gift of Christmas, and that's Jesus. Died, resurrected, third day, and arose that you might have life, John 10:10, and have it more abundant in Him. Jealousy in your heart? You forming groups? What's going on in your heart? God knows. Is there apathy? You're just doing things the way you've always done it? What's God saying to you? As soon as the song starts singing, don't hesitate. Come forward. Make things right with Christ. What are you going to give Jesus this year? What are you going to give Him? What's He said to you? Some have come. What about you? You going to put it off? You going to be obedient to the Lord? Don't miss Christmas because of your pride or your stubbornness. Don't miss it. Sing it. Be hard on you or trying to beat on you. The Spirit of God told me to preach this. I don't know who it's for. That's just the Lord. You have to take it up with Him. But I know something. I know the Lord's dealing with somebody. So lay it down. If you're coming forward, if that's something in your pride you didn't want to do, just lay it down. Don't miss Christmas. It's apathy, you know, that your life, you're just going through the routine and you know, hey, I'm missing something. Just give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm just giving it to you. I want a spark that will ignite a flame that will make a difference in my life, my family's life, my community, my church. I don't want to quench the Spirit. I want to be the one that flames it. What is it that the Lord said to you? And then, what can I give Jesus? Listen, that should be the top of your list. That Christmas list that you've been planning out. Look, oh, I've got to get this and that Aunt Martha, and I've got to get my cousin Joe, and this and this and this one. What about the top list? What am I going to give Jesus this year? I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about what does He want from you? Thank you, Linda. Tonight, 5 o'clock, choir practice. 6, we'll have brotherhood. We'll have the women's meeting. The kids, listen, we have a kids' musical coming up. Don't miss Christmas. We have choir. Don't miss Christmas. Whatever. You give the Lord your best. Please.